Super Friends, James here, and Neil's gone. That's it. It's over for him. I now own the Get Your Comic Con podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Neil's fine. For legal reasons, I now have to confirm this. Note, today we're bringing you a very special edition of the Get Your Comic Con podcast, all about Five Nights at Freddy's, or FNAF, whichever one you prefer. The new movie is coming out this month. We're about 13 days away, maybe 2 weeks, October 25th. And Universal gave us the absolute privilege of talking to the director of the film. But before we jump into that, let's go over Five Nights at Freddy's. Some of you might not be familiar. Hey, I wasn't until I started doing kind of my own research into the franchise. I remember when it launched in 2014. But I was way too scared to play it. So I watched my favorite YouTubers, Markiplier, Jacksepticeye. They would always play it and I would watch from the safety of my home, because no, I did not want to play. And actually, in fairness, not much has changed. I still don't want to play them. They look great. I always see a lot of people having fun with them. And the world seems really cool. And that's the interesting thing about this franchise, is that with the books, comic books, and multiple video games, we've actually got like a Five Nights at Freddy's mythology. It's evolved, it's grown. And what the film has done is taken key components from that to create a movie that can resonate with the fans of the franchise, but also usher in a new wave of fans who perhaps don't have the connection that others have. You know, the people that don't want to play the games, the people that don't enjoy gaming. But there's still a chance that they can go in and watch something that they can walk away and enjoy. Which is really, really good for people who don't play games. And what's interesting about all that is the video game adaptation world is an interesting one. We've seen many, many examples that don't work, but we've also seen examples that work really well. And as of right now, I can't go into the details of the movie, but I'm hopeful. That's as basic as I can go. I'm very, very hopeful. But anyway, that's a discussion for later. Universal gave us the opportunity to speak to Emma Tammy, who is the director of the film, and through her we were able to discuss what it was like kind of bearing that weight of bringing a franchise to the big screen, especially for the first time. What it was also like dealing with the animatronic element of it. They were the mascots, Freddy Fazbear, Bonnie, Foxy, Chica, and the game's bringing a bunch of other mascots, but the movie just focuses on the kind of primary four. Oh, Mr. Cupcake. Mr. Cupcake's one as well, and I don't like Mr. Cupcake. Not a very nice cupcake at all. We also got some kind of behind-the-scenes stories of what it was like working on the film, on the set, which was really nice. It really adds a lot of, kind of, it contextualizes the experience of making a film. You know, the process of making a film is something we don't actually get to witness a lot. So to hear the stories, the collaboration element of it was very, very interesting. So give it a listen. Let us know what you think. And yeah, we're really, really excited to bring this one to you. It was a really great conversation. So enjoy it.
Hi, James. Emma here.
Hiya, how's it going?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You're fabulous. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about Five Nights at Freddy's. I absolutely loved it.
My pleasure.
I had such a good time.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's great to hear.
It was, it was pretty much everything I wanted. Honestly, I never thought I'd see Five Nights at Freddy's on the big screen. So thank you for bringing it to us and to new audiences as well. I'm very excited to see what they all think about it.
Me too.
One of the things I loved most about it and is how accessible it was for
casual audiences. What was it like trying to find that balance between creating something that the fans would really enjoy and something that would usher in new audiences?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I was lucky enough to be working alongside Scott on the script and Seth Cutaback. And I think knowing that Scott was going to be keeping us on track with how much of the lore to include and which elements, it gave us really free rein to develop out the world of the movie and the characters in a way that felt like they would both service the fan base and the story we were trying to communicate as far as the adaptation goes, and also standing on their own two feet as a film that, as you say, is also accessible to a more casual audience with less knowledge of the lore going in. So, you know, it was trying to find that balance throughout the process. So I'm really glad to hear it sounds like we might have cracked it.
I think so, yeah. And as you mentioned, with working with Scott, that kind of partnership, there is so much lore in the games, the books, and there's so much merch out there. It's a huge kind of phenomenon. What was it like for you as a director to join a major franchise like that?
I mean, it was a huge honor, I would say, to be able to join the fold and help bring this to life for fans, knowing that they had been anticipating it for so long. But in the early days and even throughout the process of making the film, you know, we were, it's such a relatively small team working both on crafting the script and then bringing it to life in production, that you kind of have to tune some of the other noise out and just really give every ounce of your concentration and attention to the task at hand. So I would say, you know, some of the most exciting elements of making the movie and being aware of the fan base was actually having some of the YouTubers who are such big fans of the game and players of the game come and visit set, either to do a cameo or to see the pizzeria and feel their excitement and see it through their eyes and really feel like, okay, we're on the right track here. These fans who hold it so dear to their hearts are over the moon about what we're doing here, and it's feeling really right. And that was extreme validation and created even more excitement for what we were going to be delivering to the fans.
Oh, that's so good to hear. And especially with the kind of collaborative process with YouTubers. And one of the things I was very, very looking forward to seeing were the actual animatronic mascots. And you got the Jim Henson Creature company involved, and they all looked so, so good. And what was it like having them on set, and how did their presence change the kind of vibe between takes?
Yeah, the animatronics added a whole other dimension to the shoot. And Jim Henson's Creature Shop, they didn't just knock it out of the park building these. They knocked it out of the park in terms of helping us bring them to life on set. So there was a whole team of puppeteers behind each character. And, you know, we were really creating with these practical renditions of the characters, which was so phenomenal to have. You know, we were able to really have spontaneous interaction between them and the actors, which was incredible. And you see that on screen, but what you don't see is that, you know, off screen, there's also this whole other team of performers, if you will, helping to recreate every expression and each movement of the animatronic. So it's this huge collaboration to create those moments. And I think they're so tactile and they're so full of authenticity because of that.
Absolutely. You know, they don't speak through it, but there's so much expression, and they've all got their own sort of little characteristics. I really liked, I think my favorite was Chica. For some reason, I just loved the way that that kind of Chica looked, and the way she moved, and the way they all kind of interacted with each other, and they just
amazing,
absolutely brilliant. And it was so bizarre looking at it, going, they're actually there, and they brought such a present scene. I can't imagine what it would have kind of felt like just standing next to them. Did you have a particular favorite?
Oh, you know, they're really all my favorites, but on any given day, I would be extra enamored with one of them. and, you know, also seeing them together is so powerful, like as a little posse, you know, that is such a special chemistry, both in terms of the colors and the scales and the quirks, and it's incredible to see them as a group. But one of the things that really surprised me, you know, as Cupcake was being designed, I was enamored with Cupcake, but then we have several real standout moments for Cupcake throughout the film. So that was kind of like a revelation how incredible Cupcake was. But they're really also incredible and unique, and depending on whichever scene we were doing, I was captivated by them in new ways every day.
What were the kind of younger cast members like with them? Because I can imagine that being maybe a bit of a scary process, actually having to direct them to be afraid of these things, or was there actual kind of legitimate fear with something that looked quite odd? In like Freddy and especially like Foxy and Bonnie, what was it like trying to direct the younger stars?
Yeah, I mean, it was a mix. Like, all of the kids in the film were so in love with the animatronics, and really Piper, who plays Abby, was so bonded with them. She would come to set and give them a hug before she did anything else, and give them a hug when she left, and she just really missed them when it was over, and you know, she had such a bond with them. So kind of like her character, she always saw them through rose-colored glasses, where I think some of the adult characters, you know, in the right light, you know, were freaked out at, you know, as intended by the characters. They're so massive, the animatronics, that the scale alone is quite intimidating and such a big feature. But there was one instance when one of the kids got behind the curtain where Foxy was, and it was quite dark. And he definitely had a moment where he turned to me and said, "Oh no, this is really scary." And we took a minute to familiarize ourselves with Foxy and get acquainted and, you know, get to know him, if you will. And that, you know, that initial fear started to dissipate, and he was able to do his work. But yeah, I mean, they're scary. We, you know, Josh and I were walking around set right after it had been built. And I think it was a weekend, and he popped by. I was doing rehearsals with the animatronics, and he popped by to see the set for the first time. And it wasn't even all the way dressed. And we were walking around by ourselves, and the lights went out on the stage.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, we were backstage in the dark. There were cut out cutout pictures of the animatronics standing next to us, which was scary in and of itself. It wasn't even the live animatronics. And we were like, okay, this works. This is terrifying. Let's get out of here. And we really got the feel. But it was that feeling that we kept tapping into throughout the production, because the set was so incredibly authentic and gave you the eerie, amazing, atmospheric feeling that the game gives you.
Perfect. And just to kind of end with, I was just thinking, like, hypothetically, if you were the head of security at the pizzeria, how long do you think you'd last? I've put myself down at about an hour. I don't think I can.
An hour is pretty good. I feel like I've got, the pizzeria really well right now. So I would have some tricks up my sleeve in terms of hiding places, but I don't know how long my stomach would last. So I'm optimistic I could survive the night, but I don't know, these animatronics, they seem to get you one way or the other in the end.
Fantastic. Thank you so, so much for talking to me today. And like I said, I'm so happy with how it turned out. And I'm so happy that it was a great experience for everyone involved. And Halloween.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's the perfect time to go and watch Five Nights at Freddy's. So I'm really hoping that everyone rushes off and just really enjoys the process and just the fun, but also the fear that it elicits out of you. And yeah, I couldn't be more happy with it. And again, thank you for kind of talking me through everything that you experienced on set as well.
That means the world. Thank you so much for everything you just said, and fingers crossed everyone gets out there and enjoys it.
And there we have it. It was a delightful conversation. I had a lot of fun with it, and yeah, she was absolutely lovely. Really, really, really good to talk to. And it made me excited for Five Nights at Freddy's, because you've got the fans who obviously know the franchise really well, but then you've got people like me who kind of aren't as familiar with it. And the film does a really good job of balancing both worlds. So you're going to have the people who know the Easter eggs, who know the characters really well, who understand the significance of certain things, but you'll have those fans who don't know, and it's a really nice learning curve, and I really enjoyed learning a bit more about that process. So yeah, October 25th, Five Nights at Freddy's is out on the big screen. If you're not actually sure, the film follows a security guard who ends up working at Freddy Fazbear's pizzeria, and he just has to survive. That's it. Simple as that. You've got four killer mascots after you, and yeah, his job is to survive and make sure no one gets hurt, which is easier said than done. And what the film does, it incorporates some of the elements, the gameplay elements that fans will recognize, the cameras, the lights. But it also brings in the lore side of that universe that perhaps some people won't be that familiar with. This is a huge, huge universe that I didn't really appreciate the scope of it all. There's definitely potential for more, because like I said, this is, you've got events, you've got timelines, you've got new characters, both human and mascot, and it's much deeper than you think. And I think the film does a good job of planting that seed that maybe not all is what it seems. So who knows what the future holds for this franchise, but it's definitely one that's going to stick around for a while. So TV shows, sequels, more games, more books, it's all going to add to that massive universe. And yeah, perhaps this is just the start, but October 25th, perfect movie for Halloween this year. So make sure you go grab your tickets, grab your friends, and maybe boot up the games. I think that's what I'm tempted to do, is brave it, download one of the games and give it a shot, see what the fuss is about, but also allow myself to experience what players feel and then see how that compares to watching the film. I think that'd be a very interesting experiment, essentially doing it in reverse. You're going to have the fans who know the game who then go and watch the film, but it'll be interesting to see what sort of reception I get from basically watching the film first and then playing the game. Yeah, I think I'm going to treat myself this Halloween to a horrible night of playing Five Nights at Freddy's in the dark, maybe with some pizza, maybe a lamp on, who knows. But yeah, thank you for listening to this very special episode, and we hope you enjoyed the interview. And yeah, once you see the movie, let us know your thoughts. Let's have a discussion about it. So there we have it. Dora and Neil will be back. This isn't a permanent thing. Maybe, who knows? I'm gonna go untie him now. Okay, bye.